Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's edition of the CF Podcast is brought to you by our friends here at heartlandflags.com. Adam Gray, I've got my Heartland flag right here. Cyclone Nation. I assume that they've still got it available out there on Heartland Flags. It's a doozy. I really like that one, and it hangs right here over my couch.
That's not a doozy. That's a badass flag right there.
You can find Heartland Flags at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines or online at heartlandflags.com. They've got pretty much every kind of flag that you could ever want. NASCAR, MLB, NBA. The NBA Finals are coming up. Maybe you're a Golden State fan. Maybe you're a Cleveland fan. Get your flag. Support it outside and piss off everybody else.
I'm looking at your gigantic, awesome flag that's hanging from your wall right now. That by far, in my opinion, is the best logo in Iowa State history, the walking side. Do you agree?
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
The walking side is where it's all about.
Yeah, I like this one because it's versatile. They have the one where he's dribbling the basketball.
That's a good one too.
I think there's one where he's holding the football.
Yep.
Like you can just go a lot of different directions with that one.
That one you could be doing anything. That side could be in the marching band for all we know.
He could just put a nice little hat on him, put a trombone or something in his hand.
And then go from a cool flag to a not really a cool flag at all. Go to a flag nobody cares about.
That's wow.
What?
That escalated quickly.
I'm sorry.
How's it going, man?
It's going well, bud. How you been?
I'm pretty good.
We're at your place today.
Yeah, we are. It's messy. Lolo's trashed it.
You're a young man. You don't have a lady here to keep it. If I was not a married man, do you know how messy my house is already messy because I have three kids? But do you know how absolutely filthy it'd be?
See, like I think I keep my space clean. Lolo does not keep her space clean. She's the one that doesn't pull her weight in this deal.
That's ridiculous. You have a dog. People that have dogs still are able to pick up after their dogs.
Well, I'd pick up. I mean, clearly, I put them all over in the pile, and then she just goes and takes them all out of the pile and just puts them back all over the room again.
There's a wide range of that pile there. That pile is mixed all over the floor right there.
Well, no. You see, if I put them in, I had them all in the box.
And she rips them out there.
And then, well, she didn't like them in the box, so she took them all out one by one until she picked the toy that she wanted out of there. And now I've given up on that. We're not just, she just cries when they're all in the box.
It sounds like you have somebody here that runs the house and it's not you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But you know, you're saying this, you're blaming it all on her. I'm looking at three boxes sitting in your living room here full of books.
That's because I'm not completely moved in yet.
How long you lived here now? A month and a half, 2 months?
Yeah, about a month and a half.
Month and a half, yeah.
Well, I still just have things that are in Ames. I have a bookshelf that is going to go right there.
That'd be a good spot for it. Yeah. It'll look good.
So, yeah, that's going to be, that's the deal with those.
All in all, though, it's not too bad, you know? Doing well. You got, like we said, you got the flag flying high here. That adds a lot to the room.
Yeah. I have more, like, posters and stuff. I just haven't gotten around to putting them up. I have a St. Louis Cardinals flag that'll go somewhere at some point. Tim Hansen gave me crap because I didn't have this Shaquille O'Neal Penny Hardaway print in a frame. It's awesome.
See,
one of my favorite purchases I've ever made.
You need to go out, purchase about a $20 frame, put it in there, and it would make that look a lot better. Tim's right.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I would.
All right, so let's talk about recruiting.
Yeah, let's hit it.
Obviously, the big news this week is the announcement of the legislation passing in the Collegiate Commissioners Association. Have you ever heard of the Collegiate Commissioners Association until this week?
Not until you wrote an article about it.
Passing legislation allowing a new early signing period for high school football prospects, as well as allowing high school prospects to start taking official visits on April 1st of their junior years, starting with the 2019 class. But then the early signing period will start this December. What do you think? What are your initial thoughts on this?
Initial thought is, first off, Paul Rhodes is sitting down in Arkansas saying, what the hell? I fought for this my whole time at Iowa State. He was always vocal about it.
Yeah.
So I know I'm sure still down there, Arkansas recruiting, they're not the Alabamas of the SEC, so he's probably still happy about this. But, you know, I think this is a good thing for Iowa State. I think, you could probably go back to every single year where Iowa State was in on a kid early who blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Cam White, right?
Yeah.
Would Cam White be a Cyclone right now if this had taken place last year? If he could have signed in December, would Cam White have been a Cyclone? We don't know for sure, but more than likely probably would have been, right?
Yeah. I guess the only thing is it just, like, kids don't have to sign
they don't have
in
to.
That period, you know? So it's just like, it I mean, a lot of it will come down to personal preference.
You'll see who the hard commit is and who the soft commit is.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was just going to say. You're going to see the kids who are really committed, like what they know where they want to go to school, and then they're done with everything else.
Yep.
You know? Somebody that I think about that I wonder if this might have made any kind of difference. What about like Thayer Munford?
I mean,
Ohio State didn't jump in on him until weeks before signing day. Like, really jump in on him.
Correct.
You know? Do you think that this would have changed something with him?
Yeah, you never know with kids like that. You know, if a coach can kind of squeeze and say, hey, our offer's on the table right now, you don't want to wait too long.
Yeah.
Thayer Munford's a great example because those top, 200 recruits in the country, schools are going to take them no matter what. But Thayer Munford, even though he's highly thought of, wasn't a top 200 recruit in the country. So, yeah, he might have been squeezed by a school such as Iowa State to commit early. And I think for Iowa State's purposes, this is a good thing.
Well, and that's
Is it a good thing for the kid, though?
Yeah, that's true. And I think that there's parts of it. There's things that are good for some kids because there's some kids that, they'll commit in April and they know they want to go to school there and they essentially shut their recruiting process down, but coaches are still calling them.
Yep.
You know? And sometimes kids are just too nice to say, hey, don't call me anymore.
Correct.
You know? And it's like, this is something that Matt Campbell said on Sports Fanatics yesterday. It's like, this takes a lot of pressure off some of those kids in the month of January where it can still be kind of crazy even though they really know where they want to go to school. And they still got all these people bothering them and trying to come and visit them and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yep.
And this will kind of eliminate that. Once you get through that month of December, then some of those kids will just have January and it'll be done.
Yeah. And we're probably overanalyzing this because basketball's been doing this for years now, right?
Yeah.
So is it any – that's just fine.
But I think that with football, it's different because there's so many prospects. And this is the thing that I think is going to make the biggest difference. Like, think, a school like Ohio State, a school like Alabama, Florida State, the really big-time schools that are going after the five-star prospects, the top 100 guys. And a lot of those guys won't even decide until signing day or a couple weeks before signing day,
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times these schools would kind of try to cultivate a relationship with some of these guys that were a second-tier Power 5 recruit, the guys that Iowa State's going to get, the guys that in Iowa might get, in Minnesota. And they're trying to cultivate that relationship a little bit. Okay, well, all of a sudden they miss on the five-star guy from IMG. Well, now we're going to fall back on this guy. And then, Iowa State might have had a two-year relationship that they've built with this kid, but then Ohio State swoops in at the last second, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of thing that this might eliminate a little bit.
No, I would agree. And it's going to be interesting to watch it play out over the next 5 years and if it bridges the gap between the top teams and the lower-level teams, if you start seeing just a little bit more parity in college football. And I think there is more parity than there ever used to be, but I wonder if it bridges the gap a little bit more. But I just keep going back and thinking, what would happen with, sometimes things end up happening that end up better. Tommy Mister decommits from Iowa State, right? If he had the early signing period, he would have signed with Iowa State. Maybe Mike Warren never shows up at Iowa State.
Yeah.
Or maybe Mike Warren was with that Divine Ozigbo that went to Nebraska, who's a longtime commitment of Iowa State.
Yeah, it was.
I forget which one was committed during the class. But sometimes things like that end up working out well because, I don't think Tommy – I think Tommy Mister might be at Northern Illinois now. And Mike Warren is a redshirt freshman, rushed for 1,300 yards.
Right.
So there's always going to be certain instances where, hey, maybe a kid blows up his senior season and you still have a spot open because somebody else backed out on you, and all of a sudden you're looking at a kid no one else is looking at because he didn't have a junior sophomore year like everyone else. He wasn't doing the camps. Right. But all of a sudden, Chase Allen, he's just as good as these other kids.
Well, I think that this will really benefit some of those schools that have that are just really good evaluators early. You know what I mean? I think that it'll benefit the schools that are able to kind of pinpoint on a guy that they think is going to be good, even if maybe he didn't have a huge numbers in junior season or sophomore season, or maybe he was, behind somebody that was a big-time guy. And then they come out and have a huge senior season, but you've already cultivated a big-time, a long relationship with this kid. If you can sign him in December before any of the other schools really even get a chance to look at him like that, then – I think that could be kind of a game changer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Rob and I talked about this last week too. It's kind of going to be a different approach for these coaches, right? A different sales pitch to try to close the deal a little earlier. Not the same, but very similar to what Prohm and his staff are going through right now. Hey, you have 2 months to try to close these grad transfers.
Right.
To try to get them here. And, you know, it is a completely different sales approach than one that you're building that relationship with for a long haul, for all the way through to February. So, I mean, at the end of the day, though, we're still only talking about a 2-month difference, right?
Yeah.
So it's not.
Well, I think that it mainly will benefit the guys that have been committed for a long time.
I agree.
You know, because I think that those are the ones that are really going to be the ones most likely to sign in that period.
Yeah.
Like a guy like a Devin Moore, he would have signed in the December signing period.
Correct.
You know, like Richard Bowens would have obviously signed in the December signing period. I mean, some of these guys that actually has in their class right now might sign in the December signing period.
Well, when you think of like a Josh Johnson and a Cordarius Bailey, I believe they committed before that, and they were still getting calls up the entire time.
Which I think Josh Johnson probably would have signed during that period, but Cordarius Bailey might not have.
Yeah. Exactly, but he was still getting the calls, like you said, and it would have been nice for him not to have to worry about that, and for the Iowa State staff, too, to be able to take their energy of trying to keep this kid committed and spin it towards bringing other guys here. I mean, sure, they're going to still have this relationship with this kid because he's coming in. They want to make sure it's a smooth transition for him, but if you are sitting there spending all this time trying to keep him from going to Arkansas or, you know, one of those schools down south, South Carolina – that's taking away time for you to go out and try to get somebody else in your football team.
Well, that's something that I thought was interesting that Campbell said on KXNO was he said that it was almost a waste of money at times with how much that, you know, they've got to go out and see all their commits every week, you know, and it's just, and they could be the most solid recruit that you've got, but you still got to go see them just to, you know, make it look like you're putting all that effort into it. So this might eliminate that a little bit. You save a little bit of money on your recruiting budget maybe, and then you can put more resources into filling your class and really finishing hard with it and finishing strong.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what it's going to mean for Iowa State. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference, but I think it will make a little bit of a difference, and the difference will be better for Iowa State.
I think the one that is going to actually make the biggest difference for Iowa State, and I think that it's actually the one that has gotten talked about less, is the early official visits.
Yeah.
Because to be able to get kids on campus with their parents in April, in May, in June, I think that's going to make a big difference. It's like I wrote in that story when they first announced this. I don't know about you, but I'd rather visit Iowa in the middle of May.
Absolutely.
Than I would in the middle of December. You know, and I think that it opens the door for a kid that maybe wouldn't have wanted to come on campus later, you know, or maybe they were going to blow up later on in the process or something like that, but you can get them on campus in May and all of a sudden you've got that already in their head, whereas you might not have had that before.
Yeah, I completely agree. Ames, Iowa in May is a lot more enjoyable and beautiful than Ames, Iowa in December. It just is. So, I think it's a good thing. What do you think, too? I saw they did the proposal where, this is completely off topic from what we've been talking about, but fifth, they get to play 4 years as a freshman, and they can still redshirt.
Four games.
What'd I say?
4 years.
4 years, four games. Yeah, 4 games as a freshman, and they can still redshirt. What do you think about that?
I think that would be an interesting move. I would like that. Would you like it?
4 games seems like a lot.
It does.
That's a third of the year.
See, but the thing is, too, how many true freshmen, I mean, outside of maybe in Alabama and stuff like that, I mean, how many true freshmen at Iowa State would even be good enough to come in and actually get on the field in those first 4 games?
Well, hopefully
you would then decide, like, okay, no, we're going to shut him down.
Yeah.
And because you think about the true freshmen that have played for Iowa State, the David Montgomerys, the Kenny Nwangwus, the Deshante Joneses, they were good enough to be on the field anyway.
Sure.
So it's like it didn't matter whether or not they played 4 games, and then it's like, okay, well, now we're going to redshirt him.
Well, I mean, first off, back to your question, hopefully Iowa State recruits well enough to where they can get to the point where they have more guys
true.
They can play.
That's true. Yeah.
But you look at like last year, I'm drawing a blank on the left tackle who's a true freshman. Sean Foster.
Yeah.
I guarantee if this rule was there, Sean Foster would have played 4 games last year.
Yeah, probably.
They would have found a way to get him in there. You're not burning his red shirt. And Iowa State needed left tackles for some games last year. They got injuries quickly. Campus was out. Chase Allen. Last 4 games last year, I know he was still building up strength. They would have thrown him out there a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be instances like that where you find it. What I think would be interesting is a team, like you said, like Alabama. Do they look at the schedule and say, hey, okay, we're playing Charleston Southern this week. We're going to play with freshmen this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to get them to see them bowls flying. I think that's where it gets really interesting.
And I think that would be the thing that makes the biggest difference is it just gets some of those guys an opportunity to get on the field. right away. Yeah. And see what it's like, you know, as much as anything. Maybe not that they're going to actually go out and make a contribution. Somebody that I would have been interested to see if they would have got – maybe an Arnold Ozuna. You see him get on the field for four games right away. I mean, he was number two on the depth chart while Nigel Tribune was suspended and all that stuff like that. So
yeah. They would have played him those first couple games while Tribune was suspended. He would have played a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And then you're going into this year with fewer questions to where, you know, who's going to be your backup cornerback and stuff like that.
And if you're a freshman and you know that you have an opportunity to play four games, don't you think you're a little bit more locked in as a freshman in practices, on the scout team? Where the coaches can dangle that carrot over your head. Hey, man, if you have a good week of practice, you can get in there and play because we got four games for you before you redshirt. Well, I think it's interesting.
Another thing that I saw even was that, what if they don't do that, but you have your guys redshirt for the full year, but then they can play in the bowl game? What do you think about that?
Okay, so as far as the players go, I like it. I think my issue would be if I'm a junior or senior,
yeah,
and I've worked, you know, my whole career, 4 or 5 years, and I'm in a bowl game, and all of a sudden now I'm splitting time with some freshmen just because of a new rule. I think I'd have a problem with it. I think that's
understandable.
I think as far as, you know, coaches have a good coach has a good pulse on his team, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think a good coach would understand if a certain position he's available to bring in a freshman or not. I would like to think, I mean, Iowa State's different, right? Some schools go to bowl games every year. So if you're a junior or senior, you played in 4 or 5 bowl games. Iowa State's right. Not at that point yet. So if Iowa State were to make a bowl game this year and this rule was in place, I would hope that Campbell wouldn't be playing a freshman over a junior or senior.
Well, I think
because of that reason.
I think the thing that really prompted that discussion was, you know, the Jabril Peppers not playing in his bowl game, McCaffrey not playing in his, and Leonard Fournette not playing in his. And it's just like those kind of teams maybe were the ones that it would have been more geared towards, where there's some of those guys that are juniors and seniors where they're like, okay, well, I'm going to the NFL. I'm not going to play in this bowl game now.
So, yeah, and I think that's a good point. I always think people overreact in everything. I mean, I think the media so far on the McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, that's a one-time deal.
Clearly it worked out for both of them.
Yeah, and it's 2-star running backs that had injuries that are senior year.
Yeah.
How often
– running back's way different than most other positions.
Quarterbacks
too.
Aren't going to do this. Wide receivers aren't going to do this. A lot of other positions are not going to do what running backs do. Running backs, the wear on their body, they have a shorter NFL career than any other position. So I don't blame them on that. And the fact that the NFL – the media saying, we're going to see this more and more and more, I don't believe that for a second. I don't. Jabril Peppers was legitimately hurt. Like, he was actually hurt. He was planning on playing until, what, a day before the game?
Yeah.
So I don't look at it that way, but that's a really good point. I mean, if you're LSU and all of a sudden you lose your star running back, they luckily had another stud, but wouldn't it be nice to play a freshman?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's a good point.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, the changes that they made are going to benefit Iowa State. We might not see it in year one, but I do think eventually that you'll see, and we'll look back on this and we'll say, okay, those moves that they made were good for the schools like Iowa State, the Iowas, the second tier Power Five,
sure.
I guess I would say.
The one thing
– the middle tier, I guess.
Do you know does this impact like the UNIs of the world too? Is it the same for them? Can you sign in December with UNI?
That was actually – I did read something like that where it said – I assume that would mean that FCS can do that. But I know Division II is going to have the option to opt into it or not.
Okay.
So I don't know whether or not that's going to happen. But
because if it is, I guarantee you Farley's loving it. How many times has you and I had a commitment from a kid all the way till the end, and all of a sudden Iowa kind of comes in with a late offer for a kid because they say, you know, this kid, we'll take a flyer on you.
See, and I think, I mean, if I'm a kid, I unless I'm dead set on going to UNI, and you still have those dialogue with some of those bigger schools, I don't know that I'd sign in that early period.
No, I wouldn't either.
Here's another thing that I was thinking about with that early period. Say you're committed to a school, and they don't send you a letter of intent in December.
I think that tells you everything.
See? And you like, I think of one situation specifically with Iowa State last year where, you know, he didn't end up in the class, and I think that it was, you know, they called it a mutual parting of ways, but it wasn't very mutual.
They had a couple. They had two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was like, maybe that would be a little bit not easier way, but it would be a kind of a passive aggressive way of saying, okay, you know, you might want to look somewhere else.
Yeah. I would hope that there'd be communication.
Yeah.
There.
Well, I would hope that there'd be communication as well, but it's just, you know, they don't send them the letter and then it's like, okay, but this is why we didn't do didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
We still want you, but we're waiting to see how your the season's almost over. We're waiting to see on a couple things.
Yeah.
Hey, it doesn't hurt if you want to go look at other schools. Yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, that's the dirty part of recruiting, right? Right.
Well, think too, if Iowa State's, I mean, they're not going to have a very big class. We've talked about that quite a bit. So if they sign 10 guys in the December period, they've only got a handful of spots left to fill during January. Think about what they can be doing for 2019. During that period of
absolutely.
Time. Absolutely. 2019, 2020, and stuff like that, where they're getting in and seeing more kids. I mean, a guy like Trevor Downing, where they were visiting him last, you know, in February and January, they can be seeing those guys more and more even than they would have before.
Is that going to pay off for them? Is Downing going to commit to Iowa State?
I think that he will.
So, yeah.
Isn't he visiting Minnesota this weekend?
I think he's – yeah.
Or
I think,
was it last weekend?
No, I think he's visiting Minnesota. I think he's visiting Iowa State.
I thought Iowa kind of fell off on him.
Did they?
That could be – or not that they fell off on him, but he fell off on them. I don't know that.
Maybe
sure,
that's
though.
Maybe that's why Brian Ferentz said what he said. Maybe he didn't like
– No, I've seen what I think that the deal was with Brian Ferentz.
What?
I think it was that Andrew Todd kid from Cedar Rapids, Washington. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that – that's something that I've seen on Twitter.
Iowa State's no longer recruiting him?
Well, I think that he tried to commit to Iowa State.
Oh.
But they didn't want to take his commitment.
I'm sure in the history.
I don't know that that's true. That's all things that I've seen on social media.
No, understandable.
But now he's committed to Miami of Ohio.
Okay. Yep, I saw that.
And see, that's where it kind of, you listen to what he says and he's like, kids that wanted to commit to their school and now they're going somewhere else. So that's what kind of made me think like it was just like a veiled comment.
Yeah.
Obviously, he can't say a specific name, but that's just something that I'd seen on Twitter, something that I'd seen on the forums.
I go back to like a job, right?
Yeah.
So, Jared, let's say you're applying for a job. You apply for a job and all of a sudden, you know, you go through the process and they offer it to you. They offer you the job and you say, okay, let me think about it. You go 2 months down the road. You call them back and say, I want to accept the job. Sorry, Jared, the offer is no longer on the table for you. That happens every day in the real world, every single day, Jared.
My thing that I'd say is, why the hell did I wait 2 months to decide?
I don't know. If you really, I mean,
that's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's right. I'm absolutely not. But it's not so black and white either, right?
Yeah.
There's reasons things change. Maybe all of a sudden you offer the kid, and you're still out there recruiting because he hasn't said yes, and you all of a sudden have four or five other kids that feel really strongly about you. You think you can get, and you look,
and they're higher on your board.
And they're higher on your board.
Yeah.
And you know what, man? If you would have committed, I guarantee you could go back in every class in Iowa State's history of the last 10 years. There's an early commitment that Iowa State probably held on to because they committed to him early. And then they looked down the road and said, man, we could probably get this kid. He's probably better. But this kid's already committed to us. It's different if they're committed and they're out there publicly committed.
Right.
And, hey, okay, I'm ready to commit. Well, sorry, the offer is no longer relevant. Do you understand where I'm coming from there?
And like I said,
it's a dirty business, but I haven't talked to him,
so I don't know that that's – Sure, but that's just what I've seen on Twitter, and that's what I've seen other people bring up. So,
like I said, Brian Ferentz, I don't have any problem with him going and badmouth and talking a little bit of you guys. What do you kids call it these days? Shade.
Yeah, throwing shade.
Throwing shade.
Yeah.
Stupid comments by the way. Shade. Whatever. So he throws shade at Iowa State. That's what a rivalry is. You know what I mean? I don't mind that at all. I just think for him to call out Iowa State and then even like Minnesota. There's not one school in the country that's doing it any different.
Yeah.
There's not one school in the country that a kid wants to commit to where they say, well, hold your horses. We're not ready to receive it. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
So, nah.
Well, I don't know.
Except Iowa. They do it better.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I just think I don't know how any coach can go out and comment on the recruiting tactics of somebody else because the only school you really know about is your own.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know firsthand anything about the situation of another school.
Well, and I hit on this last week with Rob. He actually even says, I don't really know, but, and then he goes on to make a statement.
Right.
If you don't really know, you probably shouldn't make a statement.
Well, and I thought it was very telling that Ross came on the radio the next day and said that there was someone that told them when they set up the interview that he wanted to be asked about those things.
Yeah, that's fine. Like those comments do not get made unless they've probably gotten under skin on the recruiting trail. And it's not because they offer a kid and don't accept his commitment. It's because they offer a kid that Iowa wants to, and Iowa typically gets 10 times out of 10 in the state of Iowa, and they're not going to get. And that's probably like a Trevor Downing.
Right.
That's probably like the kid down in Norwalk for 2019. Tyler Enders or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Endress or something.
And he might go to Iowa, but I think I've heard Iowa State's, I mean, right there with this kid right now.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I just think it's, I keep just going back to it's the old school versus new school, and it's old school just being grumpy, really.
Sure. And there's different ways to do it. And Iowa's had success with the way they do it. So I'm not going to sit here and rip on them. And
yeah,
I love a little bit of trash talk amongst rival schools.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. And Campbell did a little bit of his last night on 1460 Cakes and O, and he said, who, Kirk Ferentz?
Yeah.
He knows damn well who Brian Ferentz is. Are you kidding me?
Right.
He knows who he is, but he's, you know, he's
but that's just
he's
that's,
playing it.
That's the thing that is just that makes no sense to me about it. Is it's like, in what world does Brian Ferentz think this through? And he's like, this is a really good idea. Like, I should go and do this. You know, like I don't know what does he feel like he benefited from that? What do you think would benefit from that?
Oh, I mean, I think you. I think what he's trying to do, I think it's a good time to do it.
See, but I think I see there's a thing what you're trying to do and but actually it comes out of it. You
sure.
Know?
Well, did what bad came out of it though? I don't know. I mean,
I think it just makes him look like he's complaining.
No, so here, I said this to Rob last week too. The reason I don't think it's complaining, well, I mean, it might be complaining, but it's a good time to do it right now because Iowa won 20 games in the last 2 years. Iowa State's won 6.
Yeah.
Iowa's gone to bowl games. They went to the Rose Bowl. Iowa State has it. Iowa sends guys to the NFL lately. Iowa State has it. So if you're going to do it, you do it now. You don't do it. Let's say Iowa State next year wins 7 games and they beat Iowa. And then he comes up, makes comments then. He looks like a whiny little baby then. Mm-hmm. Right now, he looks right. To a majority of the state of Iowa, he looks right. You even saw with social media, people went out and actually started running the numbers. Iowa State, yeah, he's right. They've offered 300 kids. Iowa's only offered 120.
Yeah.
They started doing all that and backing it up. Iowa fans stood up and clapped their hands and said, Brian Ferentz, I love you, man. You're right. Those freaking Cyclones, those guys are so dirty. They're so cheap. They're da-da-da.
But I think it's you're pandering to your fan base more than absolutely. You're pandering to everyone, you know?
Yeah, but who cares about anyone else? Y'all, I mean, you piss off Cyclone fans and you make your fans happy. That's all that matters to him.
Yeah.
He's not dumb. Brian Ferentz isn't dumb.
I think you just set yourself up to look bad down the road. But that's just me. I mean, I don't.
Well, I mean, if he backs it up like, and kicks our ass again, he doesn't look dumb.
Like, I'm not. I would prefer that coaches go out and say those kinds of things than not go say them, you know?
It gives us something to talk about on May 10th.
Exactly. But I don't know. Yeah. I personally do not see what the benefit from it would have been.
Yeah. I get it. I don't really see what the benefit is, but I don't think there's any harm done by it.
Yeah.
The only harm it's done is if all of a sudden Iowa State kicks the crap out of him next year, finishes with a better recruiting class. You know what I mean? Then all of a sudden it's, well, hey, you know how the Iowa fan base then will quickly turn on it and be like, you should start doing what Iowa State's doing.
Yeah.
Because Campbell now all of a sudden's come in here. After Paul Rhodes couldn't recruit, Rhodes was going nowhere, and all of a sudden Campbell's turned it around and the recruiting is up. Hey, coach, you need to do this because we have a better program, better tradition to sell, but Iowa State's doing it better than you.
Well, and can you imagine what the Ted Flints of the world are going to do if Iowa State beats Iowa? They're going to bring back that.
Oh, gosh. I'll stay off Twitter and off everything for a long
They're going to bring back that interview. And
love you, Ted.
It'll be everywhere.
Yeah, no, it will be. They'll be, quote, retweeting all Hawkeye fans what they tweeted on that day.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they probably saved about 30 tweets just ready to go. Guaranteed.
We love you, Ted.
You know he has. You've talked to Ted about it. He does.
No, I don't know that he does that.
He's been bookmarking those tweets.
all right, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. Iowa State added Georgia graduate transfer defensive back Reggie Wilkerson.
Yeah.
What do you think about this move?
Love depth. Campbell said from day one he's never going to turn out a good offensive lineman or a good cornerback. That fits the bill here. It would be interesting. He's not a big guy.
No.
He's what, like 5'10", a buck 90?
Yeah, 5'11", 175, actually. That's what he was listed at, I think.
Because did I see somebody, I don't remember who wrote the article, if it was Des Moines Register or somebody, didn't they say that he told them that they want him in the star or even the safety position?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I've heard is that they would I think preferably like to see him in that star spot.
Star makes a little bit more sense. Safety is small.
Because
safety.
With the star position it will really allow DeAndre Payne to
stay
officially move to cornerback.
Yep.
You know, and not have to worry about whether or not he's going to have to move back to the star spot or something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean it's great. It'd be really
they wouldn't bring him in. This is the other thing. They would not bring him in if they didn't think that he could come in and play.
Oh, I would agree.
You know.
I'd agree. And he, to me, if he can start, that'd be fantastic. But even if he simply is in the two deeps, and he can come in and rotate.
Right.
I think that's a win. I think you take a guy like that. I mean, we saw it last year with Everett Edwards. He started some games, but some games he didn't. He came off the bench, but he still had a nice impact at Iowa State. He helped with depth. I think it's a good pickup, and you obviously get him from a program where there's a lot of good players. It's a big-time program to work. He's going to come in here, and I don't think it's going to be a process where it's going to take him a while to get going.
Right.
But the question now still remains, who's Iowa State's second safety opposite of Cotton Moya? Are they going to start a true freshman? One of those redshirt freshmen?
Wasn't Braxton Lewis Mike Johnson's backup? Is that right?
He might have been, yeah. I mean,
I thought that they had two redshirt freshmen at that position.
Is Mike Johnson officially gone?
I have not heard that name from anybody within the program since all that stuff happened.
Iowa State's had some talented safeties. I mean, I'm not saying great, but talented, that have not made it. TJ Mutcherson was
a nice talent.
I don't even remember.
He transferred somewhere.
Yeah, he left. I don't know, but did he get in trouble too to where he had to leave? I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
I remember watching him in practice make some plays in practice, and whoo,
he made some plays in games that were nice plays.
He's a good player, but that's always been Iowa State's problem, right? It seems like they don't keep the players to where by the time they're fifth year seniors, they're, you know what I mean? Like they might have one or two good years,
yeah.
Then they leave, and
they get in trouble,
and you never get to see them fully become what they should become for Iowa State. And that's what Campbell's got his work cut out for him. And I think he's going to do a good job. But that's where it's all about for Iowa State, because they're never going to get to the point where they're recruiting with Oklahomas and the Texas of the world. So they got to build it with keeping the players, developing them, and have them be good as fourth and fifth year seniors.
Definitely. Thanks again.
What do you think about the guy? You didn't really comment.
Well, I think it's a good pickup. And, I mean, it's just like I said. I think that if they wouldn't have brought him in if they didn't think he could come in and play.
Yeah.
And so – if you're going to – I mean, you can't be mad about bringing in another guy that you think can come in and play.
And he was highly sought out of high school, right?
Yeah, he was the top
250?
Top 250 recruit, yeah.
Yeah. And that's one –
four stars.
If you look at all the – see, think of all the transfers that he's been bringing in. Park, top 250 guy. Dawson, top 250 guy. DeAndre Payne, I think, was a top 250 guy that went to Tennessee.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
I mean, so they're going – there's definitely an upgrade of talent at Iowa State, and I like the way they're doing it. And now, it really, to me, for Iowa State to really just get over the hump, it's all in the offensive line.
Yeah.
It's 100% on the offensive line.
Definitely. All right. Thanks again to our friends at Heartland Flags. Check them out online at heartlandflags.com. What do you got going the rest of the week, man? The podcast will be back this week, won't it?
Yeah, I think you'll come back tomorrow. Charter's been all over Twitter trying to, like, promote some surprise. I don't really know what the hell he's talking about, but that's Charter.
Yeah, he's been all over the place. He was being very passive aggressive with his tweets last week.
He's just a weird dude. I mean, let's just put it that way.
Chris will have an off the record podcast as well.
Oh, he does.
Yes, I think that he's recording that today.
With who?
I'll let him
break that story, huh?
Yeah, somebody from America's team.
I know who you're talking about. I'm going to go on record and say that will be one of the most downloaded podcasts of 2017.
It's going to be interesting. That one, yeah, that one's going to have some fun stories, I think.
Yeah. As long as Chris does a good job interviewing, which he always does, he'll be fine on that.
Gave himself, what'd he say, a C-plus with the Campbell interview?
With
the Campbell interview, yeah. He was grading himself yesterday.
I went back and listened to it. He graded on a curve. There's no way that was even C-plus material.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, thanks, buddy. Take care.
Have a great week, everybody.